You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, Scorebook Live's Director of Recruiting, and the expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. It is going to be a very, very big week and weekend for the Oregon Ducks on the recruiting trail. Some of this has been in place for a while. Some of it has been developing within just the last 48 hours, at least publicly. But Oregon is expected to make a big leap in the recruiting rankings, already with the number 7 recruiting class in the country. 3 commitments, potentially, this week. 2 on Saturday, potentially 1 on Monday, adding to this class. Oregon is the heavy favorite for all 3, according to the recruiting industry, whether that's 24/7 or on 3. I have put in predictions at scorebooklive.com in favor of all 3 players choosing the Oregon Ducks and potentially moving as high as 5th in the country in the recruiting rankings. How is this all going to shake out? Well, we've talked on this show a number of times over the last couple months that the quarterback situation was developing, that the big time names were going to come off the board, and sure enough, the dominoes just started falling, tick 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 tick, as everybody picked up their quarterbacks. Only three or four of the nation's top 25 quarterbacks are uncommitted. The most recent domino to fall, obviously, Pinnacle Arizona quarterback Dylan Raiola, the number 1 quarterback in the country, choosing Georgia. But we knew everything was going to come to a head because all of these players were announcing their commitments. I mentioned that Oregon could take 2 quarterbacks in this class. They landed 3-star athlete. He's a quarterback. He also runs the 100. He runs a 10-700, so not blazing fast, but got some speed. That's probably like a 4. I think that's roughly like a 4.7, 4.75. He's mobile in Luke Moga. They picked him up a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned that Michael Van Buren was a big-time name to watch, and now Michael Van Buren is announcing Saturday morning. He's down to Maryland, Oregon, Penn State. I had a chance to talk with him at the Elite 11 Eugene Regional a day after the Oregon spring game and talked to him about all his schools. And he was very high on Penn State. Penn State seemed like the leader for a number of months there. And then in April, he took 2 visits to Oregon. And not only did he gush about Coach Stein, but also there was a lot of belief in Oregon's system. And I think he really appreciated that Oregon was very, very truthful with him from the jump. They told him, we're taking 2 quarterbacks in this class, so don't be shocked if that's the route we go, because that is our plan. And I think he appreciated that. And I think that honest approach, that genuine approach, here's where you are on our pecking order, here's where you are on the board, really resonated with him. And I think that, coupled with the visits, getting to know everybody on the recruiting trail with those 2 visits in April, I think that propelled Oregon to being a heavy favorite. We were on the air when Coach Stein tweeted seemingly hinting at a commitment. I told you at the time, I thought that was potentially a silent commitment from Michael Van Buren. I still think that's the case. I still think that Michael Van Buren is that commitment, even though they've picked up other commitments since that time. There's a four-star cornerback from Michael Van Buren's school who committed earlier this month. So from St. Francis Academy in Maryland, I think that only helped the Ducks so that those two players could potentially come together. They play together in high school. I think it makes a ton of sense. I think Michael Van Buren is going to end up a Duck. And I think between Luke Moga and Michael Van Buren, I think that's a really nice way to attack the quarterback position this cycle. I don't love this quarterback class, not Oregon's, the class of 2024. And I talked about that on last week's show, that, you know, Dylan Raiola is the number one player in the country according to almost every service. And if he's not one, I believe he's two on one site. And I told you if he were in last year's class, he'd probably be the number four or five quarterback, which puts him in the bottom half of the top 10 prospects in America. And that's kind of the case with this whole class. He's there with a bullet because you could make an argument that he and Jeremiah Smith, a wide receiver out of Chaminade Madonna Prep in Florida, are the only two players who would even have an argument in this year's class to be top 10 players in last year's group. It just shows you the lack of overall talent in this group. It's just a weaker year. We have this in the NFL draft. We also have it in recruiting cycles, and this recruiting cycle's weak. So in a quarterback year where Dylan Raiola is, in most years, would be a top five quarterback, and this year he's number one with a bullet, that tells you the rest of the group is a little bit closer together. There's some questions about who's going to emerge, and because of that, you're seeing some of these guys all over the board. Michael Van Buren is rated as highly as a five-star prospect on ESPN. He's a three-star prospect on 24/7 Sports. That's not necessarily a reflection of Michael Van Buren either being a home run or a bust. It's not a boom or bust situation. It's that all these services are having a hard time ranking these quarterbacks. Van Buren's not the biggest player. He is definitely under 6 feet tall. I stood next to him. I'm 5'8". The gap was not very significant. He's probably more like 5'10 and a half, 5'11". I definitely weigh more than him, and I'm not the biggest guy. I'm about 185, and I'm definitely a denser human being than he is. So he's going to have to put on weight. I think there's some questions there, and I think that's why he gets knocked a little bit, but incredibly talented. There's a reason ESPN has him as a five-star prospect. He's undersized, but he went head-to-head against Dylan Raiola at that Elite 11 Eugene Regional and actually beat him in the accuracy competition. In fact, he beat every single quarterback that was there. He was the most accurate quarterback at the Eugene Regional. So small, not the biggest arm in the world. He's not going to be able to throw it through a building, but the dude is accurate, reads things well, makes plays, is an efficient playmaker. You pair that with Luke Moga, again, I think one of those two, the hope is, emerges as a really good prospect. And the reality is, when you take two quarterbacks in a class, you're saying, let's take two swings, and let's see if we can get a base hit with one of them. And I think they will. I'm not sure who it's going to be, but I think they will get a hit out of one of those two guys. Pivoting to the second commitment expected Saturday, this developed fairly recently. Davion Sims announced it plans to commit on Saturday. Zadavion Sims is an interesting one. He's out of Durant, Oklahoma. He's the number 121 prospect in the country, the number 18 defensive lineman, the number one player in Oklahoma. Very talented, down to a top five of Michigan State, Oklahoma, Oregon, TCU, and Vanderbilt. Zadavion Sims for a while looked like potentially a Michigan lean. Oklahoma's always been in the mix. He took back-to-back visits to Oregon in April, two weekends in a row, and again, in a very similar situation to Michael Van Buren. Again, another thing I mentioned on the show, whether or not we're seeing the positive momentum of Oregon's spring game, of those April visits, it's there. It's bubbling underneath the surface, and we're going to see long-term ramifications. It's just going to take time to materialize publicly. I think this is yet another one. Zadavion Sims, big-time talent. I think Oregon, in those last two weekends, really impressed him. Those last two weekends in April really impressed him, blew him away, and I do think Oregon is going to get him again. Look at 24/7 Sports. Look at On3. overwhelming number of predictions recently for him to choose Oregon. Those are two big dominoes. You get a quarterback, you suddenly have two quarterbacks. No, you don't get that ultimate elite Dante Moore type that the Oregon almost had last year, but you get two swings, and then you continue to bolster that front seven. I mentioned it a lot. Again, things I've mentioned on this show as themes. Oregon's D-line and front seven recruiting outside of the big three, Kayvon Thibodeau, Noah Sewell, Justin Flo, in terms of rankings, those guys were off the charts. Outside of that, Oregon really struck out. A number of head scratchers, a number of takes that I just went, I don't see this working. I don't understand how you take that guy. You look at what Lanning has done now, and a lot of those guys have hit the portal. Even some of the guys that were playing are now in the portal. He has added via the portal. He signed 7, 8, 9 front seven players last recruiting cycle. Clearly, he said, the cupboard is bare. I need to replace this and inject new talent, new depth into this thing. He did it in the last cycle. He did it with the transfer portal. He's doing it again here in 2024, potentially with Zadavian Sims. The last piece, a guy who was a guest on this show, and for a good reason. We're the home of the Ducks. I had him on prior to him taking some of his April visits, was Dylan Gresham, a four-star wide receiver out of San Jacinto in California. He is announcing his decision Monday morning. He is down to Arizona, Oregon, and Washington. Those are the three mentioned in glowing terms on this show. We talked about that after his interview. He mentioned multiple schools, and I said, we'll see about USC, because at the time he was talking about potentially visiting USC, but it sounds very much like it's Arizona, Oregon, and Washington. Sure enough, here we are. He's making a decision. It's Oregon, Arizona, and Washington. Dylan Gresham is a big-time talent and a player that should excite Oregon fans if, in fact, he chooses the Ducks. As a junior, just in his junior season, these aren't career numbers. This is his junior year. He had 90 catches, over 2,000 yards, and 31 touchdowns. His playoffs, they went on a playoff run. I think they ended up losing in the district, whatever. I don't think it was the state championship game because it's California, but it was like their regional championship. Just in the playoffs alone, he had something like over 1,000 yards and 15 touchdowns or something. Just out of control. Dylan Gresham is a phenomenal football player, and you'll see guys score on a third of their catches in high school. You'll see that, but not when they get 90 catches. You'll see it when a guy gets 36 and he scores 12 touchdowns. You'll see it when a guy has 45 and he gets 15 touchdowns. But just that amount of volume in high school generally means you're being fed on some bubble screens, on some dump offs, on some quick slants. And again, generally, those don't go to the house. And even as special as really good prospects can be, you don't see those guys housing, you know, a third of 90 catches. I saw that number and I had to circle back with him and I was like, 31 touchdowns? And he's like, yeah, 31 touchdowns. It's unbelievable. And you look at what Oregon's doing now with the receiver corps. So they're addressing quarterback, Luke Moga, Michael Van Buren potentially after this week, continuing to address that front seven with Zadavian Sims. The other area that you just need to continue to get better, and I know they've got a couple of nice pieces, is wide receiver. Everyone knows Troy Franklin, but they've seen some transfers both in and out. Dante Thornton out, a couple of guys in, but they need to get an amount of talent to have some depth in that wide receiver room. You needed to see this class potentially hit some home runs at receiver, and I think Oregon's doing that. Obviously, Ohio State is lapping the field when it comes to wide receivers, and we can go over their whole history with the wide receiver position, but killing it. They already have 2 5-stars in this class. No one else has a single 5-star wide receiver committed in the class. And Oregon is the only other school other than Ohio State that has 2 of the top 25 receivers in the country already committed. They have Jordan Anderson, who's a top 20 wide receiver in America coming out of California, and they have Tysier Denmark, who is a top 25 receiver, an electric wide receiver. So you get Denmark, Anderson, and now potentially Gresham. By the way, his choices are Arizona, Oregon, and Washington, and he might choose Oregon. Gresham is a city in Oregon. That's got to bode well. So the Ducks could potentially have 3 really high-caliber blue-chip receivers in this class, and suddenly you're addressing a whole lot of needs, which is part of the reason Oregon projects as potentially a top-5 recruiting class in the country before things are all said and done. They're still in it for a number of big-time talents. Brandon Baker, the #1 offensive tackle in the country out of Modern Day. They're still in it for Elijah Rushing, the Sal Point Catholic, Arizona 5-star, again, edge rusher, the #1 edge rusher in America. America, they're still in pretty good spots for those guys. Justin Williams, the five-star linebacker out of Oak Ridge in Texas. Oregon's still in the mix for him. At one point, that looked like a lock. Now it's a little less certain, but still Oregon's in pole position. So Oregon could still add 3 5-stars to this class fairly easily. I don't think it's a slam dunk, but it's certainly doable. And it's already potentially a top 5 class. So very good group, potentially for Oregon. And we will break down kind of the approach a little bit more to this class next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From 5 stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Scorebook Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
Joining me now is Durant, Oklahoma, 4-star defensive lineman Zadavian Sims. He's the nation's number 121 overall prospect, the number 16 defensive lineman, the number one player in Oklahoma, and he's announcing his decision Saturday. Zadavian, thanks for joining the show, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
I wanted to go over your top five and just discuss what you like about them, what coach stands out about each program, and just kind of give you the floor with an opportunity to discuss your 5 finalists. We'll just go in alphabetical order here. The Michigan State Spartans, what stands out about that program?
Man, they've been a front runner for me for a while now. Like, when Coach BT offered me, and it really helped my recruiting pick up, and I haven't had the relationship with Coach Daron as the longest, but I mean, I feel it's really still pretty strong, and we got something going pretty strong here. And I've just been riding with them a long time, so that's what I really like about that school.
The Oklahoma Sooners, what do you like about the in-state program there?
Coach Bates and Coach Venables, I mean, they just – something you just don't really get everywhere, you know. Like Coach V has a plan for the program that, you know, I feel like they're going to be very, very successful in the near future. Coach Bates, he's one of the highest paid D-line coaches in the country. So, I mean, he has so much knowledge of Coach Chavez, and they just develop great people.
Coach Venables has done a great job kind of everywhere he's been, whether he takes over a program that has a history developing elite defensive line prospects or just defenses in general. When he gets there, within a few years, suddenly, they're very, very good. They're a top 10, top 20 defense in America. How much does that staff appeal to you in terms of faith that you know that's a staff that just kind of gets it done and checks some boxes?
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, obviously Coach Venables had a lot of success at Clemson, and I just feel like he's gonna bring that success to OU, and you know they're gonna have a great season coming forward too. Because once he gets this thing rolling and just the classes he wants and recruiting in there, things are gonna start to pick up.
From OU to U of O, the Oregon Ducks. What do you like about Dan Lanning's program?
I really like Coach Lanning. You know, I was down there. We took our first visit the 22nd, and you know, I got to see a lot about the program. He's a great coach. You know, he obviously had a lot of success at Georgia, and you know, his things are starting to pick up for him. It's really impressive how you know, he didn't really recruit the class he had last year, but he had over a ten winning season. So, I mean, he's just a great coach with a great defensive mind.
Who's the coach that you've kind of grown closest to at Oregon? You've obviously mentioned a couple coaches from Michigan State and Oklahoma. Is there a coach, whether it's a position coach, a defense coordinator, or Lanning himself, who's the coach at Oregon that you're kind of bonded with the most?
Definitely Coach Tuodi and Coach Lapoy. But, I mean, I've talked with Coach Lapoy, I mean, Tuodi since, December, you know. We've had a great relationship. When he first started recruiting me, he came down there during that period. And I think he came, you know, he was there like twice in 2 weeks. So, you know, he came kind of like back to back, and he was there, you know, recruiting me hard. So it obviously means a lot to me.
We're talking to Durant, 4-star defensive lineman Zadavian Sims. He's the nation's number 121 overall prospect, the number one player in Oklahoma, big-time defensive lineman, announcing his decision Saturday. He just went over three of his finalists, Michigan State, Oklahoma, and Oregon. Two more finalists to get to. TCU, what do you like about the Horned Frogs?
Definitely would say, you know, my uncle played at TCU, so it's a really big program to me. You know, they've been in the league, you know, in the front runner for me for a while now. You know, they've been my top school for a while. I really love the program. You know, Coach McFarland, he's a great dude. We have a lot of things in common. We connect, you know, a lot. You know, he's been through the recruiting process. He was the, you know, number two player in the country at one point, so he knows exactly how to recruit and, you know, how hard to push. And he's just a great guy and a great coach I can see myself getting developed by.
Alphabetically, the last of your five finalists, Vanderbilt. What stands out about Vanderbilt?
Vandy, you know, I didn't really see myself really liking Vandy until I got on campus and I got to see the bigger picture, you know. I see, like, you know, at Vandy, I would be the highest-ranked prospect to ever come through Vandy. You know, so it means a lot knowing I can change a program like that and definitely make an impact. And Vanderbilt, they have a great future. Coach Lee, he's a great mind, you know. He's putting together some pieces. And well, they're going to start for sure pretty soon. Coach Hay, he's one of the best coaches I've talked to ever, you know. And they play freshman pretty really early, and he's one of the coaches that really proved it.
In the NIL era, I think outsider fans, you know, college football fans who don't pay close attention, think NIL is the end-all, be-all for prospects. And that's not the case. There's still a number of factors that go into recruitment. For you, with this wide arrangement of finalists, you've got high academic schools, you've got some schools close to home, you've got some schools on the West Coast, some schools in the Midwest. It's difficult to kind of pinpoint exactly for you what the deciding factor or what some of the main factors were in your recruitment. So I was going to ask you, and I was curious, what were some of the factors? What were like two or three of the things that stood out to you most? Were there actually, you know, boxes that need to be checked? Or for you, was it just, I'm going to go visit these schools and it'll be a feeling and that's when I'll know?
Right, yeah. Like, definitely like the relationship that I feel with the coaches was really important to me. But at the same time, you know, coaches leave all the time. So, I mean, you know, I definitely wanted to like the place that, a lot, too. So, you know, really once I stepped on campus, you know, I really, you know, I really knew where I wanted to go, you know, like, it was pretty easy for me to decide, you know. Definitely the school, been recruiting me for a while, you know. There wasn't really, like, I would say boxes that needed to be checked, but you know, it was just a right feeling for me and the coach that I liked really the best.
Last question for you. Regardless of where it is, I'm not asking you to get into that at all. But
right.
will you enroll early at the school of your choice? When you commit, do you plan on enrolling at the school in January? Are you going to wait kind of more till summer to arrive on that campus? When do you actually plan on arriving at the school that you're going to commit to on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm planning to enroll early just to get a head start and, you know, jump in the spring ball and maybe, you know, catch a bowl game.
Perfect, man. Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate you. Zadavian Sims, 4-star defensive lineman, announcing his decision on Saturday. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir, for sure. Thanks.
I wanted to get Zadavian on to talk about his decision. Of the three prospects that I mentioned committing here in the next 72 hours or so that have Oregon on the list, he is the one that's the toughest because even if it seems like Oregon might be the choice, even if that feels like that's the most likely option, sometimes as you get late and it goes closer and closer to your decision and you're in the state of Oklahoma and the Sooners are recruiting you, there's that pull to stay close to home. Michigan State has pulled off some surprises in the NIL era. And then, of course, you have Oregon. I think those three programs are probably roughly his top three. I do feel strongly that Oregon, if it ended today, would be the choice. Obviously, you know, 24/7 has Oregon being the choice. On three currently has Oregon being the choice. But when you get to these final hours and you're committing somewhere that's halfway across the country, sometimes things can change. So he's the one I most wanted to kind of watch closely down the stretch because I do feel very strongly Michael Van Buren and Dylan Gresham are near locks to choose the Ducks. And again, that would be a 4-star quarterback in Michael Van Buren and a 4-star wide receiver, Oregon's third 4-star wide receiver of the 2024 recruiting cycle. If they pull off Dylan Gresham, they've emphasized D-line and front seven play under Dan Lanning. A lot of guys out the door, a lot of bigger bodies, tougher bodies, and frankly, more proven prospects in, higher rated prospects in the door in Eugene. Zadavian Sims would certainly continue that trend if, in fact, he chooses Oregon. Want to go a little bit local with another prospect who has blown up recently. I've talked about the fact that the tight end position, or at least guys who play tight end, have really skyrocketed in recent years in Oregon. Whether it was Riley Williams, who ended up at IMG Academy before going to the Miami Hurricanes, whether it's Joey Olson from Lake Ridge, who's going to USC, AJ Pugliano from North Medford, going to Oregon, Jaden Fortier, who I love and have as the number one tight end in this year's class. Suddenly, you know, I said that when he had Mountain West offers. Now he's got Arizona State, and he's hearing from almost the entire Pac-12. In the class of 2025, Westland's Baron Naoni is the name to watch. He's starting to blow up. Some big-time Pac-12 offers, a chance to be a top 10 tight end in America before it's all said and done. We'll talk to him about his recruitment next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Z
From game tapes to junior days to recruiting visits, this is Where It Happens. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, featuring Scorebook Live Director of Recruiting, Andrew Nemec.
They might have priced themselves out of the rest of the top 50 recruits.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
I've called my shot at the tight end position a number of times. I had Tegan Quatoriano as the number three player in Oregon when he was not rated ahead of four-star prospects. I love Jaden Fortier in this class. He's now suddenly a Pac-12 kid with multiple offers. My number one player in Oregon in the class of 2025 joins the show now. It's Baron Naoni from West Lynn High School. Baron, thank you for joining the show, man.
Thank you for having me on.
6'4", 230 pounds. You do it all for West Lynn. What are you being recruited for primarily at the college level?
I'm primarily being recruited as a tight end, but I'm open to playing defense too. I started both ways last year in the fall, but I was mostly playing defense, but I'm primarily being seen as a tight end.
We got to talk about this West Lynn program because Jordan Johnson, who knows this area really well, has predicted you guys could win three of the next four of the next five state championships. I'm not willing to go that far quite yet, but it is a very special group. How good were you guys in youth sports growing up? Did you guys lose? Did you ever lose?
It was very rare for us to lose. You know, we just have so much talent coming through my class. It's just everyone's growing. Everyone's getting better. So
when you have a group like that, how much does it help that you aren't on an island? You're not the only great prospect where you dominate, that you, no matter where you line up, are lining up against another guy who's going to challenge you day in, day out. How much has that helped your development and you think the development maybe of this entire program?
I think it's great. All of us, every practice, you know, we go hard. We get better and better. We get each other better. You know, we get in each other's heads during practice. It's just a game of football. And, yeah.
Your recruitment's really picked up here recently. Obviously, as a 2025, you don't expect to have a ton of offers super early, but it is picking up now in a big, big way. Offers from Arizona State and Oregon State, and now this week, Arizona. I imagine you're hearing from most of the Pac-12. What does it mean to you to have multiple Pac-12 offers in hand before, I believe, the start of your junior season?
It means a lot. I'm thankful for my coaches. You know, I can't really say much. I'm just very thankful for helping me with all my recruiting.
Arizona was this most recent offer. You picked it up this week along with Jaden Fortier, the Tualatin tight end. Coach Pow Pow came through and offered a pair of Oregon boys at the tight end position. How did you find out about that offer? Kind of give us the play-by-play, and what did that mean to you?
It meant a lot. I was supposed to go down to Arizona a couple months ago, talk to him, but I couldn't make it down there. So I'm glad he showed up to the school and we talked. And then Houston Lillard actually gave me his number for me to give him the FaceTime call. And then that's when it happened.
We're talking to Baron Naoni, class of 2025, three-star athlete tight end, 6'4", 230 pounds. Again, I have him as the number one player in the state of Oregon so far for 2025. This weekend, you've got a big visit coming up. What's your relationship like with the program and where are you headed?
I was just there like last month. I love everything there. I love the community. I love all the coaches. They're all super nice. They seem like pretty hardworking people. I can't wait to get down there.
And where is that?
Oregon, University of Oregon.
Who's the coach that you've, I know it's kind of tough in this part when you're this young to talk to the coaches regularly, obviously because of the NCAA rules, but is there a coach you've kind of gotten to know a little bit, whether it's been on an on-campus visit or just because you know him as a familiar face around West Lynn, any coach of the Oregon staff that stands out early?
His name is Drew Mayringer. He's the tight end coach there. I've been calling him. I've been talking to him. So, yeah.
Oregon State's another program that in the area that's really interested in you. They've offered you a scholarship. I know you've had a chance to visit. How was that visit? And who's the coach that you've been able to connect with there the most?
Coach Smith was the person who offered me. But the coach I've seen most around my school and just around Oregon State is Coach Cookis. He's I mean, he's always there when I'm there, and, you know, we always see each other. So,
Coach Cookus is the area scout or area recruiter and has been for a long time. So Coach Cookus is primarily and has been the coach that hits up the Oregon prospects the most. So that is not by any means a surprise. You've got a chance to be a top tight end, top 10 tight end in the country here within the next couple years. What would it mean to you to potentially, whether it's earn a fourth star, pick up double-digit offers, what would it mean to you to see your recruitment kind of take the next leap to where you go from being a very, very coveted regional guy to being a national guy?
You know, it would mean a lot to me. I personally think that it's just all about getting on the field, working out, getting with my teammates, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it'll take time for sure, but I definitely think that it'll pick up, and once my junior year comes, it'll take off.
What's your goal for this season? You obviously emerged as a big-time talent last year, and people saw that even as in a sophomore campaign. When you're on a team this good, is there a part of you that just, like, carve out a leadership role? Is it become a top two option on offense, become one of the most productive players on defense? What is the goal for you to make sure that you feel like, okay, I'm still ascending as a prospect, and I improved this fall?
You know, I want to make sure that, first of all, I want to make sure I'm a leader, because I think every team needs a leader. I also think I also want to be, you know, one of the best players on the team, even though that's quite hard to do because we have so much talent on this team. But I think I can get it done, and yeah.
Has there been a moment on the recruiting trail? This will be my last question for you, Baron. Has there been a moment on the recruiting trail that kind of blew you away? Like, wow, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe I got this offer. I can't believe I'm meeting this coach. Or have you kind of anticipated all this stuff happening for you?
Well, my first offer from San Diego State, I mean, I was expecting my offer to come, but I wasn't like expecting one that early. I was thinking maybe I'd get my first one around this time of year, but you know, it came early, so I'm happy.
Baron Naoni, one of the best players in the state of Oregon, about to have a monster junior season, and look out for West Lynn over the next few years, whether it's Josiah Molden, who picked up an offer as an eighth grader, this young man, or plenty of others. That West Lynn team is absolutely loaded. Thank you very much for your time, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
I really like Baron, and I, again, I've said tight end has been one of those positions where I've actually been ahead of the curve in a big, big way in the state of Oregon, whether it was, again, Tegan Quatoriano is the number three prospect in the state when he was not rated, and the state had 6 or 7 4-star guys. He's playing on Sundays now. I had Luke Musgrave as my number one player in Oregon about a year before the recruiting rankings, the Bend High School standout. He's obviously a high draft pick, now going to be playing on Sundays. Jaden Fortier, this year, we've had him on the show. I told you, he's going to be special. He's already turned the corner. He's a great football player. He's about to be that dude in this class. And I think, not that Oregon and Oregon State have regrets. They both have tight end commitments in this class, because A.J. Pugliano out of North Medford is a great player committed to Oregon. Joey Olson's going to USC. Oregon State has their tight end out of California. There's some good tight ends in the West region, so no shots taken at any of those guys. But I do think, as he continues to blow up, Jaden Fortier is going to make Oregon and Oregon State really take a look at him. Is this a player we can really, even if we have a tight end, is this a player we can really let leave the home state? Is this going to be something that really burns us, that really we're looking back on Saturdays? We really regret that we let this dude, back-to-back basketball state champion, 9 points, 15 boards in the state title game in hoops, just ran a laser sub 4.6 at the tight end position. He's a, you know, an all-state caliber tight end. Are we really going to let this kid, this athlete, leave the state? Are we willing to do that? And I think Oregon and Oregon State are doing long, hard looks at Jaden Fortier. Baron Naoni is next man up at tight end. He's got a chance to be a top 10 tight end in America. I think he's got a great shot at earning his fourth star eventually as he develops. I don't love the class of 2025 in Oregon from a prospect standpoint. Obviously, 24/7 Sports and some of those guys agree they don't have anybody ranked as a top 200 player nationally. Very, very few guys even have three-star status. Baron Naioni has a chance to emerge as the clear-cut number one player in Oregon if he takes the leap this summer. I think he's got a really good chance to do that. And Wes Lynn, I'm not ready to predict three straight, four straight, five straight state championships, but I will say this. This group at Wes Lynn, folks have known about this group for years. I started hearing about this group when they were in the third, fourth, fifth grade, 2025, 2026, 2027. People would say, if they continue, they are dominating this state at the little league level in baseball, in you know, little kid football, at a level that no one else has ever. They're dominant. They never lose, and it's often not even close. And we're starting to see that play out because Oregon, the state of Oregon's a little bit down. Wes Lynn numbers are up. A lot of other people's are down. And they've got athletes all over the board who are young. Baron Naioni has a chance to be a both sides of the ball all-state player as a junior. He's got two more years. Josiah Molden has a chance to be a top three or four corner in the state next year. As a freshman, he's got four more years left. He's still in middle school. Just with those two pillars for the next 2 years, you're going to be pretty good. But there are a ton of players in Wes Lynn. And honestly, if you gave me next 4 years, over under 2.5 state titles for Wes Lynn, I would have a really, really hard time. Things happen, guys get hurt, but there is no quarterback single-handedly that changes the direction of this program. There's no one running back that changes the direction of this program. They are absolutely loaded everywhere. Watch out for Wes Lynn. Watch out for Baron Naioni. And of course, watch out for Josiah Molden, a freshman at Wes Lynn next year, who already has an offer from Oregon. And technically, as a technically sound corner, he might already be the most technically sound corner in the state. I want to get to Oregon's approach here because I think the transition from Dan Lanning, I think in year one, he had a certain approach, a Mario Cristobal-esque approach to recruiting, and it's very refreshing to see him take his own approach into year two, learn from NIL mistakes, pivot, and it looks like Oregon has kind of figured things out and figured out where they stand in the pecking order and is going to put together a top 10 class the Dan Lanning way. Next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
College recruiting, high school prospects, and more. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
A little bit of everything in this show. Three predictions for Oregon in the next 72 hours to pick up three four-star prospects. One of those prospects joins the show to break down his finalists. We also had the top prospect in the class of 2025 in the state of Oregon on the show. This class, this group that Oregon is bringing in this year potentially is, I think, the first time I felt really strongly on the recruiting trail that we're seeing Dan Lanning's fingerprints on the program. I think we started to feel that last year when he picked up 7, 8, 9 front seven guys, really hit Texas, hit the South for a couple of players. Dante Dowdell, the big-time running back who folks got a chance to see in the spring game. We saw that. But in the NIL era that was the Wild Wild West year one, I thought Oregon emphasized getting an elite quarterback too much. And I think it really hurt them. I think it really hurt them because I think they went all in on Dante Moore. I think based on what you kind of hear the rumblings are of what he potentially got at UCLA, he got offered enough in NIL package that I think Oregon's hands were tied for a few months. And they missed out on a number of four-star offensive linemen. They missed out on a number of four-star prospects that potentially they could have gotten. And we saw that because you saw expert picks, Oregon, 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 Oregon. Right after Dante Moore committed, there were like three or four or five even prospects that were supposed to commit to Oregon, and they all went somewhere else. Experts aren't that wrong that often. Something happened. And it seemed that Oregon overstretched its budget a little bit in NIL and overemphasized quarterback. Somebody came over the top at the end, and they lost that guy. You saw him pivot. They got Mateo Uyunglele. They landed a few big-time prospects late in the process, but they had to scramble a little bit. And I think this year we're seeing a better approach. Okay, fine. We still need to emphasize quarterback. Quarterback still matters, Dan Lanning says. So what do? They go get two guys. They go get a three-star riser in the West region, which I think is smart. Keep the Arizona pipeline going. So they get Sunny Slope, three-star quarterback Luke Moga. Then they go get the big fish, and we'll see if he works out or if Luke Mogul works out. But we'll take two swings at this. We'll go get Michael Van Buren out of St. Francis Academy in Maryland. By the way, a powerhouse program on the East Coast. That's a good one to get involved in. It's already paid dividends. They landed a four-star corner from St. Francis Academy earlier this month already. So potentially double-dipping out of St. Francis this recruiting cycle. That will help them long-term. So they don't over-invest in quarterback. Yes, you take two swings. It's two scholarships. It's not your entire NIL budget, which then allows you to build your program how you build it. And what we've seen from Dan Lanning, he trusts his guys. So he's got Coach Junior, the wide receiver coach, who's done a great job of identifying talent, came over from Washington and has landed some big time prospects. So they get a trio, potentially a blue chip wide receivers. What's the other thing that matters? Well, they got to get better along the O-line. They go into the transfer portal and pick up a pair of pretty good tackles. Got to get better up front. Sign multiple guys up front, hit the transfer portal for a number of players, including Jordan Birch, who's going to be one of the better edge rusher defensive linemen in the entire Pac-12 next season. And then in 2024, you continue to emphasize the trenches. You get your D linemen, you get a couple of O linemen, you get better at receiver. You're seeing Dan Lanning build it his way. And I think for Mario, a lot of times, it was make the biggest splash. Doesn't matter if they fit, doesn't matter what they do, go get the biggest and best talent. Go get Noah Sewell and Justin Flo. They play the similar position, oh well. They both kind of tend to be heat-seeking missiles that aren't always disciplined with their eyes. Who cares? Go get them. Different with Dan Lanning. Building from the inside out. O-line, D-line. It's the Georgia way. It's the SEC way. And it's coming to Oregon. Very interesting to see. Next week, recapping the commitments. We should have three commitments in the fold for the Oregon Ducks to go over, to discuss, and then potentially to have on the show. Michael Van Buren, Zadavian Sims, and Dylan Gresham have all been on the show before. I think there's a chance we get them back, at least one of them, maybe two, to go over potentially their commitments to Oregon. We shall see. Thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. As always, appreciate you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.